For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We're talking about podcast. That was it. That's a podcast, baby. Welcome.
That's the one.
Welcome to a podcast. The day is Friday. The date is April 5th. The year is 2024. And on this day, my name is Doge and I'm 30 years old.
I'm Doge, who I'm 30. I'm Doge parentheses 30. Male, 6'1". Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Who's there?
Yvette.
Yvette who?
Yvette who?
Yvette is a doctor for animals.
Oh, that's good. I like that one.
That one's good.
I like that one.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
If I wasn't 30, if I was 23 years younger, I would bust my gut open laughing so hard at that.
Fair. I'm Carter. Well, I'm Doge. I'm 30. And do the right thing even when no one is looking. Just an inspirational quote for kids.
For yeah. Yeah.
I figured on this day That's of your good. Birth, how are you feeling at 30? This is the 30. This isn't the 30. This is 30.
This is 30.
The 30.
No, this is 30.
How are you feeling?
This is 30-0.
So you're the youngest on this pod.
I am. Yeah. I feel fine. It feels pretty same as 29 did when I went to sleep yesterday.
That's how they all go. Give it a couple days, dude.
Yeah, I know. I, based on what everybody says, I'm about to really start hurting. My body's going to really, really start hurting so very bad in the next like couple of weeks.
Yeah, I still hurt. I played pickleball about a year and a half ago, and my knees are still sore. It's pretty tough. Doge, on your special, on this birthday, we put together a little game. We thought we'd resurrect a little game here. For you to celebrate. Maybe have some friends celebrate with you. Let's play A Star Was Born. Because we on this podcast know that a star was born on this day. But IMDb says that there's a few more that were as well. For those that don't remember.
I actually don't know any birthday twins that I have.
You're about to.
We have to have done this at some point.
Have we ever, like, how does the math work out? Have we ever recorded on my birthday? Because of leap years and stuff?
At least near your birthday.
We have to have done this at some point. Surely. I don't know.
You know how our memories work, though. There's no way.
As in, they don't.
Right.
They work
April,
none.
April
right. They
5th.
Work zero.
Correct?
Create.
Procreate? April 5th?
Yes. Yeah.
Excellent. For those that don't remember, A Star Was Born is using IMDb, but not in the cruel way that many of the other games that we play do. It simply just tells us, who was born on what day? What we're going to do is I'm going to
your parents
let them
big
know,
fans of the 4th of July?
I guess, man.
Must have been, dude. Fireworks. I'm going to tell them, actor or actress, how many credits they have. They have three random shots. And I will read off that credit, that movie or TV show that this person was in. And based off of those three guesses, they have to guess whose birthday it is today. All of them April 5th birthday. Sometimes we have to bounce around to make things cool and make sure that people know what we're talking about. But we got all of them right here. To start, she is turning 35 today.
Mm, 35.
Born 1989. And she has 35 acting credits. Four of those.
One a year.
Four of those upcoming.
Okay.
Great thing about A Star Was Born 2 is you get to see maybe some upcoming projects you just didn't know about yet.
Sure.
So that's fun. But we have 35. I think you could just use 31 right now. So
you want to say 30?
Yeah. 30 is a film called Finally Dawn.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
That would have been her 30th credit. So her second most recent.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
What was your second favorite birthday?
Hmm. I don't know. Let's say 16. That's when I got my driver's license.
16 works. I once drove.
The Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society.
Hey, that's not real.
That is real.
There's no way that's a real movie.
It appears to it.
I can guarantee you that no one listening to our podcast has seen that movie.
The Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society, y'all.
Simple film.
7.3 on IMDb, 2018. Hmm. Interesting. One more guess to try and find your first. One of the three that have your same birthday. Share your same birthday.
What do you think? Start saying a number and I'll start agreeing.
27.
To it. Let's do 27. That was my COVID birthday. That wasn't a very good birthday.
Television show.
Okay.
Pam and Tommy.
Oh.
Okay.
Wait. Now if I could just remember who was in that. Sebastian Stan. I know that.
Yeah, she's in Baby Driver as well. What's her name?
Oh yeah.
Cinderella. Lily James.
Lily James.
Happy 35th birthday today. Well, first let me say happy 30th birthday to our good friend Doge.
Thank you.
Happy 35th birthday to Lily James.
There
Clutch.
We go.
Indiana Clutch Jones. At the end. Her 31st credit, which you were so very close to, was the Iron Claw. Upcoming projects include in development, reprising her role as Deborah for Baby Driver 2.
Adult Driver.
That's happening?
Adult. Adolescent driver. It seems to be in development, according to IMDb. I'm not totally sure.
I don't think it's still in development.
Maybe not. I thought, yeah, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not.
Another birthday. Ansel Elgort got ejected into space.
Yeah. I don't know why, if I'm being honest.
You got some pretty cool ones.
I never checked on it.
Yeah.
You got some pretty cool ones here. I was between a couple of older gentlemen. And I'm going to choose
one of
these.
Of which I am.
I'll let you know the other one, though. Did you know you share a birthday with Spencer Tracy? That's pretty cool.
Spencer Tracy? Really?
The classique.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I don't either.
Oh, interesting. So we have ourselves a supernova here. No longer with us. Would have been.
31. Died of old age.
Nope.
Almost there.
Let me math here. Would have been 108 today. Born in 1916.
That's pretty early.
Wow.
Born in 1916.
It's about to be like Herbert Hoover.
58 acting credits. 58.
I mean, we got to go with 58.
Sure. No upcoming projects. Sorry, I've been
that's good. With AI, it's, you know.
Yeah, who knows?
I think 58.
58.
1998 was on two episodes of this. This was his last Poirot, Moby Dick. Moby Dick, 1998.
It's a show?
Looks like a TV movie.
Good.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for picking him.
I say 50.
Let's try and hit like, yeah, 50. Let's try and hit early 90s.
TV miniseries.
Oh my God, dude.
About the Civil War called The Blue and the Gray. This is what your Lily James start was like this. You know, it's always, you just gotta find that right credit, you know?
What year was that, you said?
1982.
Skipped a little.
Let's go between. Yeah.
How we feel about like a 55?
Yeah.
The number so nice they put it twice.
1991's Other People's Money.
Okay. All right. This is a fun round of this game because I've never seen any of these.
I haven't seen
here's
any
what I'm,
I've never
here's what I'm trying
of.
To do. I'm trying to think of famous olds from when we were young.
Sure.
And I'm landing on The Man from Babe, Pig in the City.
He's not dead.
How sure are you?
He was just in Succession last year.
Have we checked on him? Is that a digital double?
Yikes.
Talking about the farmer?
Yes.
Yeah, he's in Succession.
Is his name like James Cornwell or something like that?
I don't know, man.
Happy 108th birthday, Gregory Peck.
Ah, so we were going to, if we got to Kill a Mockingbird, we were going to get it. And otherwise, not a chance.
Otherwise, not a chance. But that's fine.
What number credit is to Kill a Mockingbird for Greg?
It was like late 30s on the credits, which is interesting. It was in the 60s. So 1960s. Mm. Yeah. So y'all weren't too super far off.
You could have just told me that man's name was Bibbledy Borf.
Bibbledy Borf. Did you also share a birthday with Betty Davis? Some really big classics here. Okay.
Yeah.
Today.
Did any of them die on April 5th, 1994?
None of them. Turning 48 today. Our final actor in the installment here. What on earth was that?
The like lock thing that keeps chair from leaning back. It opened and I had many lives flash before
Is
my
your
eyes.
Your heart still up a little bit?
It was for a second. It wasn't that bad. I'm very calm.
This 48-year-old gentleman has 69 credits.
Nice.
Nice.
With seven upcoming. He's got some work he's doing.
He can't
here.
Do them. He needs to stop.
Seven.
Yeah, don't add any more, please.
What's seven?
You already got it. The 69.
69, yeah, you got to go 69.
We have to say 69.
Do you want to go the 60? So the one that's not even, there's it's not. It's like in development.
Oh, I thought you meant 69 we could pull from.
No, no, no. There's seven upcoming. So 62 you can pull from. But
okay, 62.
62.
Bust Invincible. Out.
Okay.
Huh. All right.
Ooh, I have a guess already, but let's keep going.
I also have a guess. It would make me very happy to share a birthday with this person if it's who I'm thinking. Let's do like 54.
Sure.
Feels nice.
TV series, I Am Athlete. One episode.
Unfamiliar.
Yikes.
Unfamiliar.
I think we should do 61 or 60, like real close to recent.
Okay.
61 or 60. What do you think?
61.
TV series, 9 episodes. This looks like voice acting, much like he did in Invincible. Interrupting Chicken. Never heard of it.
Okay. I'm not as confident in my guess anymore. Just because I only have Invincible to go off of. You said 48 years old?
48.
Okay, so I watch Invincible. I think I'm the only one on the pod, but...
No, you're not.
Oh, have you been watching it?
Not the new season, but I watch Invincible.
Got it. Well, my guess is from
just the
new
first season over and over again.
My guess would
have
been
seen
from
the first
new
episode
season.
Of the new season. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. So Sterling K. Brown is in the new season. I'm not sure how old he is. 48 feels old as a guess for Sterling K. Brown.
I would buy 48 for Sterling K. Brown, I think.
I don't know much about his other credits, and that's a lot of credits.
A lot of credits in. I don't know that I think he's a big voice acting boy.
But yeah, two voice this is the only thing I've ever
back to back
can think of. I'm sure he's done other stuff. He's got a great voice. The other thought that I had was, could it be Seth Rogen? But then the athlete thing really threw me off. And is Seth Rogen 48? Yeah.
I wonder if the I am athlete thing is like a voice role, like a voiceover, like a narrator role.
Yeah, it could be.
Because this could be like a straight up just voice actor person.
There's not a ton of those in Invincible.
Really?
I mean, there are, but not a bunch. It's not Andrew Reynolds. I don't think.
I'm fine to put a guess on Sterling K. Brown.
SKB.
Yeah. Sterling K. Brown.
Happy 48th birthday. Well, first, happy 30th birthday to you, Doge.
Thank you.
Happy 48th birthday, Sterling K.
Nice.
Brown.
Same birthday with him?
As cool. Doge. He has like 10 voice acting credits. He's done a lot of Robot Chicken, Big Mouth.
Cool. He's got a really good voice.
He does. He's got an excellent voice.
I love him, man. I've never once seen or heard him perform in anything where I was like, not it.
He's in a movie coming up to stream. It'll stream at the end of May. It's a new Jennifer Lopez movie called Atlas, streaming on Netflix.
Oh, no thanks.
Simu Liu, Sterling K. Brown, Jennifer Lopez. I'll watch it. Mark Strong.
All right. Well, I think I'm out on J-Lo.
You're out, though. That's interesting. Like any
reason at all? Have you guys ever looked up?
Kind of bothersome.
Bothersome.
I find her bothersome.
Bothersome. All right. Have you guys ever looked up who died on your birthday?
No.
Just to see who, like, you may have passed. Like, they were going up, you're coming down. Who you
have
may
you
have,
looked
like,
it up?
On the road. Kurt Cobain.
Whoa.
April 5th, 1994 was Kurt Cobain. Maybe we high-fived as we, like, passed each other and I just don't remember.
Oh, like, on your actual birthday?
On my actual birthday, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to look this up real quick.
Jordan, when is your birthday?
February 25th.
Dude! Betty Davis, who we just mentioned.
Whoa.
Who was born...
Born on my birthday.
Died on
yours.
Solomon Grundy over here, dude.
For real?
Wait, oh no, sorry. That was 89. My bad.
Uh-oh.
More like Solomon Grundle.
You didn't... Honestly, you didn't pass any cool people.
Yeah,
Jordan.
I'm fresh.
Sorry.
I'm an original.
On this day, Bill Cody.
I don't know who that is.
I probably would have passed somebody trying to high five me and been like, "Ugh, dude, I don't touch strangers."
Yeah, probably Baruch Goldstein, who was a mass murderer and religious extremist.
Oh, I think we just traded.
Yeah, he came back as you.
He tagged me in.
Oh, no.
It's like, I didn't get to finish my work.
It's like, carry
you
the
must
torch.
Carry on.
Carry the torch. Do what I could not.
I have some spring delirium results for us, my friends.
Please.
We today, on this day, thanks to the Chunkies and their votings, we move from the Sweet 16 to the Elite Eight.
Wow.
To the Elite Eight. Does you
more like the more like the all more like the all eat eight. I accidentally said that at the movie last night.
Oh my god, it's like I'm hearing it for the first time. I'll eat eight, dude. It sounds like elite. I'll never hear that word the same way. We had eight matchups.
Mm-hmm.
We now have eight winners. These move on to the Elite Eight.
Who they were matched up again as well?
Yeah. All right. We started with brownies against cookies. Our winner here, with about 68% of the vote, cookies moves on.
That tracks. That tracks.
And it will have a dessert bout. The final dessert will be standing after this Elite Eight.
Wow.
We had churros against ice cream. And with about the same percentage that cookies beat brownies, ice cream beat churros.
Yeah.
Both of those votes make sense. I tend to lean the other way on both of those, I think. But both of those votes make sense.
But I think it's because both of those winners are like archetypical.
Ubiquitous. Yeah.
It's just like when you think of dessert, you're thinking of one of those things.
Cookies and ice cream.
I like to be a little unpredictable. I'm a little outside the box.
Yeah.
I live outside the lines, you know?
Yeah.
So I prefer brownies and churros. I
freaking love that about you. It'll be cookies against ice cream in the Elite Eight. Yeah. Pretty tough.
That's hard.
We move on to the entree section of the bracket. We had tacos against sandwiches.
It's tough.
One of the biggest wins. One of the largest differentials here.
It's got large margins. It's got large margins.
Tacos wins against sandwiches.
That's what. That's how I would have voted.
Tacos. That's what happens when you're a podcast based in Dallas, Texas.
That's true.
Very close matchup here, winning by only three votes. This was breakfast and sushi to join tacos in the bout to reach the final four after that Elite Eight in the entree section of the bracket. Breakfast against sushi, winning by three votes. Breakfast.
Oh, let's go breakfast.
Wow.
Makes its way to the next round, meaning it will be tacos against breakfast.
Let's go.
Interesting.
Breakfast,
breakfast tacos, what, though. What do you do about that?
Yeah, but say, what if they just like combine?
You got your peanut butter in my chocolate.
Oh, no.
Oh, you got your breakfast in my tacos.
Biggest landslide victory is coming up right here. And it's at the beginning of our matchups with appetizers. It was fried pickles against chips and queso. Chips and queso.
Yeah.
Moves on.
Yeah. Sorry,
massive,
pickles.
Massive win. Then we had nachos against wings. This was a little bit closer, but winning with about 58-59% of the vote. Wings.
Mm.
Wings moves on. So this means appetizers will be chips and queso against wings.
It's pretty
and
tough.
Finally, we have our snacks. I'm reading this right. Oh, no. Oh, no. Good. Never mind. I thought it was a tie. It's not a tie. It was donuts against pretzels. It's not a tie. Donuts against pretzels. Our winner here. Donuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the best part about it is the people in Discord saying they were just voting that out of spite, which is cool.
Yep.
It's really cool. The power of pretzels has to be held down by the people. That's how strong they are.
That's how strong
and
it
honestly,
is.
And honestly, donut won, but what is donut if not just an untangled up pretzel?
Dude, just give me a moment to wrap. Just get wrapped around that.
I'll give you a moment to wrap. Do you need me to drop a beat?
Nope.
Well, my name is Carter and I'm here to say
I'm still angry from the other day.
Thought that episode was far from a hit because when the results came in, it was a pile of chips.
Nice.
Mix of gummies.
Hey, honestly,
one vote. A win by one vote. Mix against gummies. Mix moves on. This means our Elite Eight are brownies against ice cream, tacos against breakfast, chips and queso against wings, and donuts against mix.
That's really tough.
That is genuinely, it's not because it beat pretzels. I'm fine with that. I knew pretzels wouldn't make it to the end. Donuts is crazy making it this far to me.
It is, dude. Cinderella story, bro.
That's crazy.
Like donuts are, at least for me, have always been like pretty good.
It's fine. I'll eat them.
So it's crazy to me that donuts are like getting all the way up here, you know?
Yeah.
Them is the matchup.
I wonder if people are thinking of the gourmet ones that have like a Hot Wheels and a piece of bacon on them, you know?
Sure. Yeah. They're welcome to do that. I mean, everybody's picking their own champion in their brains.
On that chocolate. Oh, man. But that's it. That's our Elite Eight. are I'll Eat Eight.
Nice.
I'll Eat Eight. Nice, dude.
Let's go to show announcements. Welcome to Shout Announcements. It's the part of the show where we give shout outs and make announcements. Shout out to Big Carter announcement for doing this part.
Yeah, that's me. Sorry, I was just so excited to transition into it. And you're just such a force when you're running the pod that it's like, how do I get in there?
You know, yeah,
it's
just
like
sort of wedge.
This moving herd, and you're telling me run as fast as these run.
Yeah.
How from this stopping point?
Just got a wedge.
This moment of standing still. We have an announcement. Here in the Shout Announcements, we'll announce it again during next week's pod. But we just finished up. The second half of this podcast is going to be talking about Monkey Man, which was with the Two Chunks Movie Club. It was awesome to see that movie with everybody.
It was.
Be in y'all's presence. Talk about a movie that we're going to talk about here in the second half of this podcast. We've got now May on the horizon for the Two Chunks Movie Club, and we have our four movies. That it might be a tough decision. It might not for some of you, but I wanted to announce those here in Shout Announcements. Starting with a May 3rd release, The Fall Guy, Chemistry Overload.
Yeah.
Emily Blunt, Ryan Gosling. Okay. Yeah. The movie could have been about anything. Happens to be about Stuntman and his relationship with what seems to be a director. It's got
the
director.
Director's the same as John Wick. Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
It's David Leitch. Leech?
Yeah.
Like?
Yeah. Same.
Leek?
Same, same. It looks amazing. I'm excited for that. I'll be seeing it regardless, but I'd love to see it with you. There's also a May 10th release, the week after that. We have Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. I need to catch up on... I think I've only seen the first Planet of the Apes. Oh my God.
Dude.
With Draco Malfoy.
The Matt Reeves... yeah, the Matt Reeves Planet of the Apes, the two following that, are fantastic.
They're very good.
So Matt Reeves didn't pick it up until the two following?
Right. Matt Reeves did not do the first one. He did the
second,
the third one.
Is Woody Harrelson in one of them?
Yes, yes. He's in the third one.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Is Gary Oldman in one of them?
Gary Oldman's in the third one.
Yeah. What?
Or the second one, maybe.
For shame. Yeah, I'll
Gary Oldman's in one of them, yeah.
I'll catch up on that.
They're dude, really they're good. So they're so good.
May 17th, a week after that. This is fun. We're starting to get into the summer blockbustery times to where it's
like
every
one a week.
I can't remember the last time we had this though, to be honest. Like legitimately. It does feel like we're getting back into the groove of things. It's been 4 years. May 17th, If, the Imaginary Friends movie. I think that's going to be fun.
I think so too.
I think that's going to be really fun.
The marketing for it has Krasinski. Been so good.
Mm-hmm. Emily Blunt, another flick for her that month. She's got a little voice acting role, I do believe. And then May 24th, Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. Coming out on the same day as the Garfield movie. Maybe hoping for that Barbenheimer flavor. Probably won't Garfiosa. Make half total of all that stuff. Furiosa, how are we feeling? We were talking a little bit about it. We watched a trailer before Monkey Man last night. And there's things to be excited about. I'm excited about the people that are in it.
Same.
It just doesn't look as practical effect.
It is so green screeny, dude. It looks like a Marvel movie. It looks like it was shot on the volume, like all the Disney Plus shows. Like the sense of scale is just not there in this one for me. It just looks like CG mush.
You gotta hope that the trailer's just not doing it justice, but I don't know how many times that happens anymore with movies.
Yeah,
it feels like, wow, it looks even better.
It feels extremely forced. Like Mad Max came out weird and so like effortlessly like this is what we're going to be. And it feels like the cultural response to Mad Max has shaped at least the marketing, if not the product itself for Furiosa in a way that it's like, look, we're this too. And I think you're just trying too hard.
It's just so sad because George Miller just doesn't feel like that kind of person.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm worried about it. I mean, I will see it.
Is it Warner Brothers?
I don't know.
They've stained so many. They've ruined so many things. Yeah, dude. It is.
Is it Warner Brothers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dadgummit. All right. But those are our four. What do you want to see with us in May? It's up to you. Join our Discord, the $5 tier. You can jump on over to AA and you'll know where we're going once we decide what to see. I will be, it will be bated breath the whole time for me. I don't know how long it will take me to unclench at the beginning of watching Furiosa, because I'm going to see it regardless, whether or not it's with the movie club. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm going to go into that one nervous, I think.
Yeah, same. And I'm hardly ever nervous going into movies. I'm an optimist boy. Maybe not. Anyways.
We're back. One of us is choking on his own spit.
Uh-oh.
But we're back regardless. Regardless of the fate of that mysterious third boy who is choking. Let's talk about a movie, a film that we saw just last night as the crow flies with our Two Chunks Movie Club homies. It is a directorial and writing debut, I believe.
Yeah.
For the starring actor in this film, Dev Patel. And it is a movie that is called Monkey Man. Doge, give me a synopsis. Let's talk about it.
This week's IMDb synopsis is anonymous. It has no author, which means it descended from the jungle like a very angry monkey to punch a guy who is acting like he's a prophet. An anonymous young man unleashes a campaign of vengeance against the corrupt leaders who murdered his mother and continue to systemically victimize the poor and powerless. Should be systematically victimize the poor and powerless. Systemically means, I think, medically, right? Like something goes systemic.
Be careful. Who wrote this, by the way, before we...
Anonymous.
Oh, that's right. It's anonymous. Yeah. Sorry. I had a worry that you were about to start some beef with Nick. So I was like...
I think systemic is the right word. It's systematically. I know the word systemic because I had a college roommate who was really trying to grow his beard. And there's like this spot right here between the mustache and the actual beard. And he was like, I can't get any hair to grow here. And so he was doing a ton of research about, should I put Rogaine there? And he was like, nah, there's like a...
Like on the edge of his mouth?
Like right here. Yeah. On his chin. That's, and he was like, there's
the mouth.
There's like a 40% chance when you apply Rogaine not on your scalp that it goes systemic and basically turns you into kind of a sort of Wookiee where you grow a bunch of hair all over. And he was like, I don't want to risk Chewbacca-fying myself just to make my beard look better.
So systematic is an adverb to describe in which way something is doing something. Systemic means that it is part of like the foundations of a system. That's why people describe it as systemic racism, where it's like racism that is built into the system, the existing system of...
So anonymous is using this as an adjective. They say continue to systemically victimize the poor and powerless. It should be continue to systematically victimize the poor and powerless.
Oh, I read it as an adjective. Like, essentially, like, through the system is the way that they are victimizing the poor and powerless.
I think they mean systematically. If only we had some sort of professor who was a professor of communications or something like that on this podcast who could help us figure out how we're supposed to read this.
Personally, I'm so burned out from this just being my job that I didn't really listen. I kind of tuned
y'all out.
That's
fair. Let's start talking about the movie.
Let's just talk about the movie. I do love it though. You have smart boys.
That is us.
That's also not movie.
That is
I'll
us.
Go first talk about movie. I think this movie had monkey-sized balls.
Dang.
To name drop John Wick in the movie.
Yeah.
And then be like, actually, our entire third act is going to be a fight in a neon nightclub where our lead is wearing a full black suit.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's just John Wick, but it works really well. I'm not tired of that flavor. And like, this still felt unique. We talked about it a little bit in the lobby of the theater last night with the Two Chunks Movie Club about how this still carves a distinct identity apart from John Wick because of how grungy and like scrappy this movie is.
Yeah.
Versus John Wick's like a little bit more polished. Like I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that was like a year ago that we saw John Wick 4?
Yeah.
I think so.
The overhead shot with the dragon's breath gun. That's like the top down shot in John Wick 4. It's like that level of polish would not happen in Monkey Man. Monkey Man is way more just like shaky camera. It's like if John Wick wandered onto the set, John Wick wandered into the world of the Bourne Ultimatum. And it's like that super shaky cam, grimy, grungy, but it works. It's actually so effective.
My super dump is the first like 30 minutes of this movie. I couldn't parse what was happening in any action scene because it was that 2011 Bourne camera work. And it was like every 0.6 seconds was a hard cut to another angle. And like the camera was just like constantly moving and shaking. And I couldn't tell anything that was happening in the first like 30 minutes worth of action scenes.
So there's some really great oneers later in the movie, like single take looking stuff later in the movie. The budget for this, so I think they're doing those quick cuts to like maximize the intensity because our budget was $10 million for this.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is nothing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
No, yeah, it gets better. That's why I'm specifically mentioning like just the first 30 or so. But I had like a sinking feeling of like, I'm not going to be able to tell anything cool happening in this movie. Mm. And then it did get better, thankfully. But yeah, for me, the super dump is like, I was really nervous for the first like 30 minutes of this movie because I could not tell what was happening. I felt old.
The first John Wick 2014 was $20 million for the first one.
Wow.
So obviously factoring inflation, I'm not really sure what that means, but really probably what that means is how much Keanu costs.
Sure.
For real.
The majority of that went just to our lead. Whereas Dev was probably like, no, I'll take a cut.
Yeah.
His movie. So I think that, especially for like a freshman directing attempt.
Yeah. Are you kidding?
This is so impressive. And like, you can clearly see the passion that Dev has for this flavor of movie, but also for like the people that he included in the movie.
Felt personal.
Which I really appreciate. There's a lot to love here. I think knowing virtually nothing, I saw one trailer and I was like, okay, that's enough. I don't want to know anything else about this movie. So going in relatively blind and being surprised by the camera work had me, you know, quaking in my boots at the beginning of the movie. But as the story goes on and things sort of like level out and iron out, I feel like that was one of many things that improved throughout the runtime of the movie.
Yep. I think an area in which the $10 million budget did show for me was the dialogue mixing. I think the dialogue mixing is a little weak in this movie, and I think we probably could have used another pass at a lot of the dialogue or some ADR sessions or something because it was very difficult to understand.
That was my super dump, but keep going.
That's my super dump as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's even a moment too to where they could tell it. It's not like it felt like, I don't know, there were parts that the production felt rushed because it was like we had someone speaking in English but gave them subtitles at one point.
Like it's reality TV. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, I think, because they were walking through a crowded kitchen or something like that and there was a lot of outside noise. But really the hope would be that we're turning some of that other stuff down so that we can hear the dialogue better. But it was tough. And I think that's, you know, it stands out the most at the first half of the movie because that's where most of the dialogue is. The rest is just the sound of crunching bones and tearing flesh is the second half. But yeah, that was my super dumb. And I just now saw this, but due to budget cuts, they had to use like GoPros and iPhones for some of the shots filmed in this movie.
Greenhouse from our Discord was telling us that last night that apparently like the lore around this movie is that Dev Patel did for real break his hand while making this movie.
Hmm. Yeah.
And also, apparently, a lot of their equipment broke and they couldn't get it repaired. And so they've shot some stuff with iPhones, some stuff with GoPros. And I think there were times where I could pick out an iPhone or I could pick out a GoPro. But overall, it really worked.
Yeah, I think it did. My super pump ended up being something that we also talked about at the Two Chunks Movie Club. And it's kind of like that espresso drip, how I usually describe it, of like that one scene that kind of explains an overall vibe of the movie, but it felt like Monkey Man as a whole was taking tropey things, but Patel was able to do really creative spins on those things.
Yeah.
And it touched on just action in general. John Wick just kind of stays John Wick. right? I don't think there's ever a moment I'm watching John Wick and I think, that's kind of like James Bond.
Right.
That's kind of like Mission Impossible.
Right.
It's kind of like Fast and Furious. It's like, no, dude, you know, I'm thinking I'm back. It's just like, oh, at that moment, you're like, this is completely different.
Yeah.
But with Monkey Man, there were equal parts. There's some John Wick in there. But then there's like, there's a scene that we have that is the training scene, right? It's like, I tried and I lost and I'm training and I'm coming back. We see it over and over and again in action movies. And I think maybe some of the best that we've seen it was Rocky when we did that with Sylvester Stallone of getting in there and punching the frozen meat and running up the stairs and stuff. So in the creativity of it all, I loved the scene where our nameless boy has taken his root of the death god tree drug or whatever and has transformed. And he's at a punching bag. And a character that we've already introduced that's playing a really interesting... Do y'all know what that drum is, my music boys? Do you know what that is?
I don't.
Okay. Playing a really interesting drum. And it's this whole thing that kind of like it... shined a light on how intuitive our director asks us to be. Mm-hmm. Like there's in all the action stuff too, it doesn't have to be like, okay, and then you're going to come in, but you're going to be dressed as this god and then we're going to slay him later and stuff. It's like, no, we just let it happen.
Yeah.
We don't really have to know what weapon they have, how they got the weapon.
Right.
So when he's at that punching bag and we've got the beat of that drummer.
Really cool.
Just kind of training with him. And just kind of going with his cadence. It was awesome. I really, really loved that. I thought that was pretty special.
Yeah, I liked
it's
that a lot.
It's a pretty standout moment. I think a lot of the times when we have some callback to movies, we can't help but think of like images and scenes in our minds. Mm-hmm. Like it feels like there's these things that prioritize for me. And that'll be at the very top, I think, is him just standing there with his lean, fit self.
For
punching
real.
The heck out of this bag till it splits open.
I heard multiple people in our Two Chunks movie club as I was exiting the movie be like, Dev Patel's pretty hot.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was great.
Dude, I have loved Dev Patel since I saw him. I think the first thing I saw him in was Chappie, the Neil Blomkamp movie, which has to be, now that I think about it, got to be where he became friends with Charlton Copley.
Yeah.
Enough to be like, hey, will you be in this movie? Dude, I also love Charlton Copley.
I feel like I don't love Charlton Copley.
I don't ever get to see him in anything. I feel like he's hardly in anything at all. And everything he's in, it's like he put his whole self into this and he's amazing.
I really loved the scene where he was talking and like pulled the mic away and got really quiet and then pulled it. I don't know. Something about that scene just made me laugh so much.
Yeah.
No, I think
he's one of those. One more thing to say about him. He's an actor. I feel like there's only a handful of them that it's like no movie is ever saying like it needs to be longer. I think movies, if anything, are trying to cut off the fat. But to be like, I don't know. Let's just leave the 30 seconds of him realizing he screwed up.
Yeah.
Or not knowing what to do in front of this crowd of people. It was hilarious. And he just completely commanded that whole thing of him. It was just basically him being like, ha ha, okay. Yeah. Well, it's like, but how many people do you want to see do that scene? You know, how many actors?
For real.
I love him.
So Monkey Man only wore, he bleaches his mask white near the end of the movie. He only wore it for like 10 seconds. And I just wish that he had had it on the whole rest of the movie. It was so sick.
I know.
And I just wish he never took it off. I know then we wouldn't get to see Dev Patel's pretty face, which, you know, thankfully we do, but man, I just wish that he had worn that white dyed, that bleached monkey mask for the rest of the movie. Because with that
was
suit
so
and
cool.
that white mask, he was so scary to look at. And I love. There's a scene in that fight, in that fighting ring when he's all sweaty. And it almost looks like the monkey's face has come alive when he's like looking at the guy that he's about to fight. And I thought that was really cool.
Yep. I think he took the mask off because he wanted to highlight the fact that apparently, and like that's the whole thing with like the broken cameras, the broken hand and stuff. It's the lore of the movie.
Sure.
Apparently Dev Patel did every single one of his own stunts for this movie.
That's really cool.
So I think that's why he was like, no monkey mask. They got to see that Dev Patel is doing it.
No, I can appreciate that. No, this movie is, for me, this movie is really good. Totally worth a watch. A lot of fun. It is scrappy. It is like an underdog type movie that's just like, demands to be looked at and respected, which I really appreciate. But for me, there is one standout moment that is my super pump. And that is towards the very end of the movie, there is a, like, I don't even know if you can call it a bar fight. There is like a brawl sequence where Dev Patel's character, the Monkey Man, is in fact in some serious trouble when I would say like probably 30 dudes enter this bar and it's like 1v30. And he's just kind of standing there nervously. And then the elevator door dings and this army of, so there's this whole subplot about this, I guess it's like a temple of, it's trans women who are being marginalized by the same man who activated the kill squad that killed Monkey Man's family. So they share this common enemy and they help each other during this movie. Mm-hmm. And there's like kind of this subplot where, politically and not socially, like through the media, they are sort of assassinating the character of the leader of this like temple of trans women. And all of a sudden they just like roll up through this elevator. The elevator dings and there's like 20 women get off this elevator. And it's just like, it's like they reached through time and pulled a song off of my iPod from when I was in high school.
For real. Like it's the most like 2008 metal song.
It's out of nowhere the most like, breakdown like and it's the coolest thing in the whole movie to me. That whole sequence is such a blast to watch with like the twirling dresses and the insanely brutal violence.
Something about like the like sequins and gems and stuff on the twirling dresses like catching the light in that bar as they're fighting in slow motion is so unbelievably cool.
Yeah, that was so that cool. Scene is perfect.
That's amazing.
The way that we used music in this movie was also like really creative, and that's something that we see a lot. I mean, Baby Driver was doing it, you know, beat for beat, and it you know, feels like it took the sound editing 5 years to be able to line all that stuff up. But we still had some creative transitions. There was an explosion that happens in the kitchen at one point that rattles the chandelier, but the sound of the rattling of that chandelier, you can't really differentiate if it's the chandelier making the noise or the next song that's coming into the queue.
Right? Yeah.
Like the way they would transition into the music was just pretty powerful. I think it definitely helped with the scenes a lot. Yeah. I can't really remember much of the music from John Wick, like how much that stands out or if it was a conversation.
The only one I remember is
the,
we're killing strangers.
That like super douchey rock song from the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was all over the place. It wasn't just, I mean, there was like metal and rap and all sorts of.
Yeah.
It just felt like a quick shuffle on a kick-ass soundtrack.
I fully believe that they just shuffled Dev Patel's iPod.
Sure.
If somebody was like, this is Dev Patel's Spotify Wrapped, I'd be like, yeah, probably.
I love that.
Dev Patel is my super pump for this movie. Just the like the writing, directing, co-producing, according to the story of the movie, this was not ever going to get a theatrical release until Jordan Peele saw it and then was like, actually, I would love to take on a co-producer role for this and pay for the theatrical distribution. But like this to me feels like fully Dev Patel's brainchild. And the fact that he's like, I'm going to write, direct, produce, star in, and do all my own stunts is just so unbelievably ballsy to me.
Yeah.
And it works so well. Like it's just, it so contributes to like the meta narrative of how scrappy and just intense this movie is from a production standpoint, totally complements the subject matter. This is like the least corporate feeling movie I've seen in a very long time. Like I can't imagine any big studio being like, our shareholders will be happy that we released this movie.
Sure. Yeah.
But like, man, it's so good. And I think that I really do think that falls to Dev Patel, who not only is great in the movie, but is great outside the movie for how he made the movie.
Yeah. No, I just did. Who doesn't just love like a scrappy artist pursuing their vision. That's just awesome.
Yeah, for real.
You know, we referenced Rocky earlier, but it sure sounds a lot like a similar situation to what Sly was doing.
That's so similar. You're right.
Maybe we'll get Monkey Man 2. Doubt it based on the ending, but maybe we'll get Monkey Man.
Maybe Monkey Man will be in the next Expendables.
Don't need it. Yeah, don't need
it. No, I don't actually want that. I'm at a point in my life where when sequels get announced, I'm like, no, you're going to ruin it.
How would you feel? How would you feel if there was like a post-credit scene and Ian McShane was like, we need you at the Continental.
We need you at the Continental.
I would hate it. I would hate it. That would make me very
angry. Yeah, especially because
they've seen the movie.
Yeah. They did. They have seen the movie John Wick.
put Dev Patel in John Wick, though. Yeah, for sure. Put Dev Patel, yeah, the actor, in John Wick. He's so cool.
Put Dev Patel in everything, man. In everything. It feels like dude can't catch a break. This might be his first legitimate box office success. Mm.
Dude, maybe
thanks
he
to
cares.
Jordan Peele, he wasn't like even going to be in the box office.
Yeah, for real.
Let's
took it under monkey ball.
Let's rate this.
Go ahead. Rate it then.
Let's rate this
Do
movie.
You remember the scale?
Yeah. We're going to use the Scientific Cinema scale, which is perfect and as follows. The best thing we could ever say about a movie is own it. Don't lend it.
Buy that poster.
The next best thing is buy it. That's followed by rent it and then stream it. After that is forget it. And last, but certainly least, the worst thing we could ever say about a movie.
God hath forsaken us.
I'll buy this movie. Me first. I'll buy it.
Hey, buy.
It was good. There was still enough that it's interesting because with amount of budget and first attempt at doing this as a director, it does feel like I tend to heap grace sometimes. I don't want that to skew like my actual review of the movie. It's like, well, you did okay with what you had. I mean, it's a movie, it's a released in theaters movie. And so I think there were certain areas that were pretty clearly off. Like the super dump of like the sound editing and different things like that. But what a wonderful, for such a slow start, you kind of get to that point, especially in movies like this, where you're like, man, I really hope this payoff is good because I don't know what I'm going to rate it right now. And then they gave us a half hour of, oh, this is why. Okay. Yeah. This is why we developed that relationship. This is why we saw really what he went through and how miserable his life had been to that point. This is why he's willing to give everything and just die. He I think it kind of felt like he knew he would. I love that there was no like romantic relationship in this movie. That it was like,
don't have time.
I can't even focus on that.
Too busy punching.
Too busy punching. Great. Buy it.
To buy it for me as well. This was such a fresh experience. I'm still trying to come out of my, I don't think I like movies anymore kind of vibe where I'm just so exhausted by the like, I feel like the big budget stuff that I used to love so much is just not doing it for me anymore.
Yeah.
And hasn't been for a while, but. This was just such a breath of fresh air while also being so unbelievably tropey. And I don't know how it managed both of those, but this was a ton of fun. Bye.
Yeah, I have a similar, do I even like movies anymore feeling a lot of times with, you know, the way that movies just are right now. This is a rent for me, but it's a rent with a lot of love from me. I really enjoyed this movie a lot. I thought it was excellent. And I think that it's an incredible, incredible first movie from a first-time director, writer.
I think he's going to do more, right?
I think he's got more in the tank.
There's so
sure.
many other kind of animals. Lion Man, Hippo Man.
Zebra Guy.
Yeah. He's got Zebra like, guy. This got franchise more. Has so many possibilities.
It's got so many legs. It's got legs. No, man, I thought that this was really excellent and a lot of fun and totally worth a watch if you've got the time to go sit down and just take a risk on a movie. This is an excellent one to take a risk on. I think fresh is the perfect word for it. I think that it feels unpolished and like grungy enough in a good way, but it just feels unpolished and grungy enough that like I don't think it's a buy for me.
Yeah.
Just as a whole, but it's not because I didn't love it. I did. I just, you know, I think rent feels good.
This was mentioned during the Two Chunks movie club, but see Upgrade. If you've seen Monkey Man and you liked it and you haven't seen Upgrade, go see Upgrade.
Very Upgrade is yeah. sick. There.
Very similar vibes.
Upgrade is more violent, I think, than Monkey
It is.
Man.
Consistently. I mean, from the beginning. It's not like saving it all for the end.
Yeah.
But
Upgrade is pretty, if you got a weak stomach.
Monkey Man had some of the more violent things I've ever seen, though.
Yeah. At one point, I'm 99% sure that was teeth that hit that toilet because I saw them scatter, I'm pretty sure.
Yule.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeet. Yeah. Which is pretty. And at one point, Monkey Man does slam a guy's face into a glass oven door, and we get to watch it from inside the oven door, which is pretty awesome. I think that's a lot of
fun. He does also push a guy against the back of an elevator and then stab him in the throat with a knife. And then the guy grabs both Monkey Man's hands. So Monkey Man uses his monkey teeth to grab the knife and push it all the way into the guy's throat.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts. That's pretty nuts.
Oh, it was great. Ton of fun. Definitely go watch it. And that's a
perfect for all ages. Yeah. Great family
take your
movie.
Kids. Take your grandma. Take your kids. Grandma's gonna love it.
Yeah.
Grandmas would
no
love
cussing,
Monkey Man.
No sex.
Yeah.
Take them.
No blood.
No blood. No blood. No violence.
No sin. There's probably even no sins in the whole movie.
No hardly sins. A single. Oh, goodness gracious. To end today's episode, well, first of all, I'd like to remind you to vote for next month's Two Chunk Movie Club movie. That should be up soon. And make sure you go do that. To end today's episode, I'd like for each of us to say our name and what animal we would base our fighting superhero off of.
So it's like we've made the movie?
Yeah.
It's us in the movie?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I have to write, direct, produce, star, and do all my own stunts as this particular animal?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. For Two Chunks and a Hunk, I'm Jordan. And my movie would be called Penguin Pal. And I would be in a full black and white tuxedo and I would slide around on my belly a lot and I would mate for life and I would walk with children between my knees, just like waddle around with like my child between my knees. To
just hold them on your feet. Yeah.
And a lot of my fighting would be like flipper based. It would be a lot of open hand slaps. it would just sound so wet every slap.
Yeah. Straight arm. You can't bend your elbows. I'm Doge. Writer, producer, director, star, and lead stuntsman of Roly Poly Rumble. And that's because I just get to roll up into a little ball and roll around. It's like Monkey Ball. It's like Monkey Ball. It's like Sonic the Hedgehog, but not. It's legally distinct from those two properties.
Rolling around at the speed of sound.
That would definitely be in the movie, actually.
Got to contact Sega. Make sure they're cool with it.
They're not doing anything with that song. It's not making any... That song probably didn't make them any money today.
How is that song not in one of the Sonic movies? Like, how do we not have a sequence of Sonic the Hedgehog running away from a semi-truck full of military
equipment? Dude, I thought there was a moment in Sonic 2 that I thought we were going to get full on. It was just going to be like, and now City Escape. It's just him running from the truck.
Yeah, it would have been so sick.
Oh my God, I would stand up in the theater. I would lose my mind.
That's the kind of decision that is made when the people in production are fans of something in the same way that I am a fan of it, which for Sonic is like tangentially and barely. And I think that they're probably making it for people who are like diehard lifelong
big Sonic fans. Yeah. They're going like full on like deep lore for the next one, right? Yeah, like Amy and Rouge the Bat and everybody. Yeah.
I love that Sonic has deep lore. I'm Carter and Kangaroo Kiddo.
Oh.
Born in a hoodie. Love it. All my special tricky treats are up in that big pocket. And I just kind of jump around and who knows? Who knows what's in there? But I'm going to use it against you. I'm going to throw it. I'm going to shoot it.
Two feet.
Crush it.
2 feet. One tail.
Yeah. There's going to be like a fun thing.
Can't
it's like
lose.
I'm always like,
I've described
a lot. Is it going to be a weapon or is it just a snack? Sorry, dude. Little snack sized bag of Fritos. Mm. I'm not trying to kill you. Why would you think that? It's because I'm Kangaroo Kitty. I got a reputation.
You got a Gatling gun that comes out of your hoodie pocket. You're just like munching on Fritos. It's like, and then
at the end, they're just kind of like, man, why does he do all this? What's his motivation? That's when I pull out my kid at the end.
He's been in your pouch the whole time.
My child.
In your catchphrase, you just slowly pan to camera and just boing. Boing.
Clicks. Clicks.
the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.